Okay. What were your parents like? I know you've talked about your parents sometimes before, but.
Well, I guess my parents worked harder than most people should. They were strict with us, but they weren't mean. They gave us everything we needed, not necessarily everything we wanted. But we were okay.
Did you enjoy your childhood?
Gee, I don't remember much about it. I think I would imagine I did.
Who were your favorite relatives?
My grandma Wall. She was the only relative that lived there in town with us. And then I did have an aunt and uncle that moved there with two kids. But they were so much younger than we were. But we had grandma around until we'd been married, I don't know, 6, 8 years before grandma passed away.
How was your marriage in the beginning when you got married? Like the first 10 years of it?
Lynn, she's interviewing you.
You can answer too.
I would say it was, some days were really good, some days were good, and some days were hard. He was going to school, I was in graduate school, I was teaching. He was hoping to stay in college forever, I think.
Full time.
Full time. But we didn't have a lot, but yet we got to go to movies a lot because we lived next door.
Because when you got married, were you living in Spearfish or were you living in?
Dale was living in Spearfish. When we got engaged, Dale was in Spearfish going to school, and I was in Sioux Falls teaching.
So you did long distance for
We
like
did.
the whole engagement?
Yeah, we did, I guess.
Do what?
We were long distance our whole engagement. And then, because we got engaged, I was in Sioux Falls, he was in Spearfish, and that was in October. And then by the time I came home to Spearfish, he was gone to National Guard basic for 2 weeks. And he came back, and we were both living with my parents. Because in those days you didn't stay under the same roof if you didn't have a few chaperones, so
We didn't do what Aspen and Jordan are doing.
Yeah.
That was a definite no, uh-uh, over our dead bodies.
So you could only live
Cut
together
off
once you
the
were
aid.
married?
Any assistance,
Okay.
you're on your own. Totally unheard of. Kind of like applying for teaching jobs in Spearfish when we got done with school, or when I got done. We couldn't apply, didn't think anything of it, because they didn't hire a husband and wife.
Together?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
I was teaching
Neither one would
him.
get a job.
Even if you were like at a different school, it
If we were
couldn't
both
be.
teachers,
You couldn't just get
couldn't
it.
couldn't work in the couldn't work in the same system.
Only in Spearfish or all like
No,
throughout?
Spearfish was that way.
It
A lot of
was
schools.
typical. But at the time they talked about when I did get my job at Spearfish, they they said there was 300 and some applicants, and your name went to the top. And I said, well, why? I don't have a lot of experience. Well, the first thing is you weren't a BH graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting a lot of feedback from the townspeople and so forth that they were getting too inbred with BH teachers, and they thought they should bring in other people. So I guess I was in the right place at the right time. I was offered a job in lead before, just before we got married, but it, you know, I loved teaching in Spearfish, I really did.
Mm-hmm.
But we also wanted to start a family, and once you were 4 months along, you had to report that to the school. And then you couldn't teach there till after the baby was born.
Mm.
Well, when you're a teacher, you're more than likely have a lot of expensive school homes and so forth. With two of us that way, we couldn't afford that, so we went ahead and found jobs somewhere that where would the school system would apply or would accept both of us.
Mm-hmm.
That worked out okay too.
So then you where did you teach after you taught in Spearfish? Did you move here right after you did that?
We moved right after he got done with, he had to do National Guard training again. So it took a while. So it was sometime in June or July that we moved to Isabel. That's where we met Kurt Wright.
Mm.
He just graduated from high school.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. We just met, and we met him there, and then he helped deal with coaching football.
Oh.
And also helped him, you know, who this kid is and who that brother is and how are they hooked up together and stuff like that. Because that's kind of important, too, that you know the kids' background.
Yeah. So does that mean that he stayed, like, did he stay in Isabel until he moved here? Like, did you...
He left here. He left Isabel before we did, and he came here.
Oh.
And I think when he first came here, he went to work for Sutton's. Then somewhere along the line, he went to work for Yackley. And then he went back to Sutton. And back to Yackley somehow, but yeah, we got to know him well. And his mom was a teacher aide at the school.
For you.
And then he had a younger, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Craig, you met him. He was a wild guy.
He seems like he still kind of is.
Oh yeah, he can. Oh, dude.
Who?
Craig.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you end up in Oneida? Like, how did you end up here?
Well, we had found out that we would need to adopt.
Mm-hmm.
We lost a baby while we were there. So... When we started the process, we were told that once we got accepted for adoption, then we would need to, I would need to stay home while we waited for a baby.
Really?
And it could possibly be a year or more. In fact, there was some teacher friends right there in Isabel that had just gotten their little girl. And she said it was a little over a year for them. And I'm sure that those laws have changed. They have to, I think.
Yeah.
But we decided to go ahead and try Nebraska. So we went to a town called Lyman, which was just on the border of Wyoming and that. And when we got down there, we found out that it would take even longer to get one. In the meantime, my condition was worsening and finally had to have a hysterectomy to where we didn't have a chance. But the doctor really was real good about it. He says, no, he says, let's try some private ones. He says, I know some doctors that handle that. He came back later and apologized to us. He said, I had no idea you could wait up to 12 years.
Gee.
And then the gal in Wyoming said that she thought that maybe within 5 years. So we made a real hard decision and went ahead with the surgery, went ahead with coming back home, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
His parents were living in Minnesota, about 250 miles away from here. My parents lived in Lee, which about 250 miles that way. So we were searching through the lists, you know. Of course, now that's all computerized. We always had to wait for the list to be sent out every week. And there was a listing for Oneida. So we thought we'd apply, and we later got notified of interviews for both of us. And it was close enough that Dale's mom and dad could meet us for the weekend. And so we came up here and we thought this would be a good way to practice an interview because we hadn't interviewed for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they offered us jobs. Again, the principal, the superintendent that we had here at the time did not believe that married couples or anything should be in the same building. So I taught in Blount and Dale taught up here. And then I taught sixth grade. And after that I actually was riffed 3 different times and rehired 3 different times. Sometimes I was rehired before I was riffed. It was all games that they play. And then I eventually was teaching in that big room with the outside door, and life was as good as it could get, I guess.
Riffed means reduced in force?
Oh, yeah.
Like you, see ya.
Yeah.
You're out of a job.
3 times?
Yeah, the first time, when we came here, there was a lot of, I don't know what, they used to call it dead wood, but they had somehow over-employed to the point where they had too many people for what they had jobs. And Blount used to have their own music teacher, their own art teacher, and their own PE teacher. And after that first year I was here, those 3 positions were gone. The title teacher was gone. And they had 7th and 8th grade there at that point. And I think that was the year we lost 8th grade. Might have, I'm not sure. maybe we lost the little junior high, and they started busing them up here. And now, you know, we're to the point where they're going to close the school.
Yep.
But it all works out somehow. You just have to have teachers that are willing to dig in and don't look back, just keep looking forward.
Yeah. Because what grade did you teach when you were, like, in Oneida?
When they moved me up from Blount, they offered me a junior high job or second grade. But when the principal offered it to me, because right away that second grade just started going, yay, 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 I want that. He says, you know that if you take the second grade job, Patty, there was another gal named Patty, she was a title teacher, she won't have a job. I thought that was kind of funny, but I guess the junior high job would be okay. My mom, in the meantime, was terminal cancer. And when I talked to her about it one day, she said, you know, Colleen, I wish you had taken a second grade job. I think it would have been, you'd be happier there. And boys felt like that was a mistake on my part, that was something my mom asked for and I didn't do it. But eventually I was in the junior high, and then they went to the middle school concept, and I was the language arts teacher. And then it was about every year there was a different second grade teacher. And finally we had an deal where the teacher was not married, became pregnant, and was teaching and never said a word to anybody, but everybody's, you know, when you're carrying something out here, it's pretty obvious that something's going on. Well, finally, and that's how sometimes school boards can just get so tunnel vision. Finally, they asked her to come in. She went in without counsel, which was too bad. But she was asked to not return after she gave birth. So the kids watched her, was right with her all that time, and it was February, early February, and that a Friday night, she went to the hospital and had a baby girl. So then she had to turn the grade books and everything over to me, and couldn't come back. And it just never made sense to me. Nobody sat down and explained what happened with the kids' teacher. It was up to the parents. Some parents would do it one way, and some parents were like, you just thought, what in the world? And it was too bad because she was a good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
When she got on her feet and got over that, she went down the pier. She taught kindergarten. I never ran into anybody down there that would say anything bad about what she was doing. And she raised that little girl, and she graduated from pier. There was nothing wrong. I mean, you know, nice girls get pregnant too.
Yeah.
Which this nice girl did.
Because then you taught second grade.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I went down to second grade. And then that particular year, the kindergarten teacher was retiring. Of course, that had been the apple in front of my eye. And so they asked me to stay on to second grade, but if I wanted the kindergarten job more, then they would give that to me. So I took the kindergarten job. And I had kindergarten. They divided into groups. We had two groups, a morning group and an afternoon group. And then our numbers started going down. I had gone as high as 32 kids in kindergarten for a while. One time I had triplets and twins all the time. One time I had like, what, two sets of twins or something, the Ackley boys and them. Anyway, then a new principal came in with all kinds of ideas, and she happened to come across a speech teacher who had the same kind of kooky ideas. And they went around asking all of us, we had a survey, and they asked us all to fill it out and write this little essay and stuff, hand it in, and a few days later they come around and told us, next year you will be teaching. Okay, well, I lucked out. They came around and told me I'd be moved to first grade, which I hated leaving kindergarten, but kindergarten at that point meant teaching in the morning, then getting in the car and driving down to Blount and teaching kindergarten down there, and then come back and start it all over. I always had to worry about a car. Was it gassed up? You couldn't really rely on anybody. And so Dale helped me a lot, making sure I had a car and that it was gassed up. And usually it was the most ugly car in the parking lot. You could just bet on it. And you get down there, and then the kids were, you know, I needed to have them start by a certain time in order for them to get what the Blount or Oneida kids got. You know, that was always a big deal. Are they getting what the other kids are getting? And, but yet the kids might wander in, you know, a half hour late or something, or they'd stand around talking out in the hall with their parents, and you always got to come to school with a smile on your face. Oh, I love this. But, and it wasn't too many years of that when I was moved to first grade. And I think the last was like 16 years, probably in first grade. I can't even remember who that first class would have been.
I was your last class, wasn't I? Or no?
You were my last class, yes.
And then you retired?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. And then I did go back and work with Twana for 2.5 years. 2.5 years as a teaching assistant. And all told up, I put in 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to retire when you came through. But we tallied up what it was going to cost us in extra insurance versus renewing our certificates. And it was, let's go. It was just too much. You know, was it going to break us? No, we could have figured out a way. But it's, it was a good gig for the two of us.
Did you retire the same year, both of you?
You went in together and you left together?
I went in a year and a half ahead of him. No, more than that.
What?
Because I was at Pierre, Sioux Falls, and 2 years in Spearfish before he decided he better come along. But Pierre and Sioux Falls, it was before we were married. 2 years in Spearfish is when we were married.
Mm.
And then I had graduated from Lead High School. When he did his student teaching, he was assigned Lead High School. So he got to see where I got raised.
Yeah, far cry from the first contract I signed was for $7,200.
My first one was $2,800.
For the year.
Oh, mine is for half a year.
Coach three sports.
That was with your coaching? Or did they not pay for coaching at that point? They still did.
Huh.
We have every one of our contracts that we ever signed.
Yep.
Wow.
$7,200 included the coaching pay.
For the whole year. Wow. But then it just kept going up.
Hmm.
Not by much, but it went up.
No.
I always said I wanna teach until I can walk out and say I made more money than the years that I taught. And we just squeaked by. So Dale didn't quite make you made more than the years you taught, so you taught 36.
That's because of the coaching.
And if you ever have a way of being able to teach and not take out your retirement, would be a godsend.
Leave it sit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boy, are we raking it in now.
What we paid.
And look at us.
What we paid into the retirement system in Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
We took that out in 2 years after we retired. That's what we get. We get paid every month. Today is retirement payday for us. So what we're getting now is what we got it. We took out of the retirement system in 2 years, and we're still getting money.
We get a raise every year.
The retirement system that we are involved with is one of the top three out of the 50 states.
Wow.
We're
that's
right
good.
Up there. We're probably ahead of New York, Arizona, California.
Not Arizona, because remember, we were going to...
Arizona.
We were going to move down there, and that guy says, no, don't do it.
Why are you leaving? I says, well, we'd like to, earn a little bit more money. You're making more money than we're able to pay in Arizona.
Could you imagine living there now?
No.
No. Well, it's scary down there.
That includes
there.
California, especially up north. Talked to my sister yesterday. They live in Temecula, which is south of Los Angeles. But up north, they already have about 7 foot of snow. And my sister said we're supposed to get like 3 or 4 feet more today.
Jeez.
Oh my God.
Highs of ceiling. 8 feet.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
They snow it. They ski in that stuff.
Yeah, but isn't it all mountain up there? Kind of, mostly.
Huh?
Isn't all mountain up there?
A lot of it.
You got a little bit of everything, I think.
Yeah.
One down here is burning up with a forest fire, and over here, They got
mudslides.
Mudslides.
That's crazy.
Dale liked his trip down there.
Huh?
You liked your trip down there.
Yeah, it was nice. Fun. What else you got there, kiddo?
Did you at least enjoy teaching the whole time that you did it? Like, you never thought about quitting or...
Well, for me, there were times that were tough.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. You had all this stuff around you. But if I could get those kids in the room and shut the door, I loved every minute of it. But sometimes it was pretty scary to walk out in the hall. Because, you know, you might have parents that were in there just screaming and howling to take you down. Principals that didn't do a thing. They just sat in their room. We had one that used to take off every afternoon and drive out in the country somewhere and sit there and drink. You know, we had crazies here sometimes. And I think probably every school does. I don't know. But, I'm glad I did it. When did I ever decide I wanted to be a teacher? I have not figured that out yet.
Me either.
When I graduated from high school, I had a sister who was 13 months younger. And all I heard coming up from school was, why can't you be smart like your sister? And I'm like, my God, she's a year younger. Why can't you be like me? Why can't you be like me? My mom and dad did not dance to that song. But I had a guidance counselor that said, why do you want to go on to school? And I says, to make something of myself.
Yeah.
Your mom and dad need to save that money for Marie. And your ACTs show that the only thing that you could be is an English teacher. So I went on and went to my folks and talked to them about it. Nope, you're going to school. So then I thought I'd go to Spearfish. Nope, you're not going to Spearfish. And I says, why not? We could save all this money. I could go to school, come back, stay at home. And nope, you're not going down there. Well, all my friends are going. Nope, you're not going down there. It's nothing but party school. You're going to Northern. Okay. So then what am I going to be? Well, let's see. You can either be a secretary or a nurse or a teacher. Well, I couldn't type worth a darn. I hated the sight of blood. Teacher it is.
And then you just stuck with it.
Because I liked it, I guess. There's really something satisfying about seeing a kid struggle with something. And you just take a time out with that kid, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Work with them to see, is it because they don't understand it? Or you can't see it, you have to draw it out for them? Or maybe they're in a position where it's hard for them to hear what you're saying to them. And when they give you that aha moment, when they, oh, now I see. God, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
I even got a couple of them from that one.
You always were a problem.
Huh?
She's always been a problem.
You've had a few more years between the two of you to get over it.
No two class periods were ever the same. No 2 days were ever the same. every group that walked through the door, something different. So we did something different. I liked it when kids thought they were getting me out of, off the track, off the lesson, way out there. But to their surprise, we're still learning. I put a different twist on it. Always came back around, this is the lesson, but they didn't know that. That's the fun part. Like Colleen said, some days, close the door and don't let anybody come in.
Did you ever have any problems with, like, the parents of the kids? Like, a lot of them?
Yep.
I can't say I had a lot of them, but...
Bitching.
The scary part is that you've got to get a mindset. And it was hard for me, and I, you know, probably within 10 years or so, well, 10 years before I retired, there was a situation going on between about three classrooms, same family. And I actually turned to my teacher aide, and she says, "What is wrong?" And I had tears come down. And I says, "Am I getting fired?" Because I was just sure I was gone. Mm-hmm. And she says, "No, you're not." It got worse before it got better, but it never got to the point where I was threatened with them getting rid of me or anything like that. In fact, wasn't too long afterwards that they found out that the teachers were right and the parents were wrong. I hate to use the word wrong, but their outlook on it was out of place. Mm-hmm. But it is a scary thing, and I found that the thing that work best for me is at the end of the day, I sit down and write down, you know, anything that might have happened during the day, the kid, the time, whatever I can remember of everything, and just keep that going. Sometimes at the end of the, I used index cards a lot for that.
A diary?
Yeah. Just kept filing the kid's name. But sometimes some kids had one or two cards for a year. Sometimes a kid would have one or two cards for a day, which was terrible.
Yeah. But
I hope things are different nowadays.
That's like my main concern is dealing with like the parents, because some people think that their kids do no wrong and they're all this and that, and then it's like not the case, obviously, because they act different around their parents versus their mm-hmm. teachers and everything.
Yeah, you need to, you know, that there's always that, what am I thinking of, chain of command. Talk to the superintendent about it, and hopefully he will take it, he or she would take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be a concern of yours, but.
If you get asked to come into the office, you know, superintendent, excuse me, or principal, you have a right to ask someone else on staff to come with you
mm-hmm.
and sit and listen. I know there were numerous times that I didn't do that, and I should have. Because sometimes the in my case, the superintendent, said some things that pissed me off. But I didn't have any source to back up what they just said.
Yeah.
You can always ask a person, well, what's this about? Or why do you want me to come in?
Yeah.
You can always set up a time to do that. It could be the next day, or if it's right after school's out that same day, then you kind of watch out for stuff like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember having a lot of crazies.
Well, we've had some.
The last one employed Dale after we retired for 13 years. How long did you work for Todd?
Todd? 12 years.
There we go. And it's sad because then it kind of puts a damper on things. And then as time goes on, everything that they were screaming and hollering about is like, okay, is this right or wrong? And they have to say, we were wrong.
Yeah.
They've never said it to me, though, but I guess they have said it to others. But I thought, at least, you know, when the school year's over, why, that's over, and they have to live with it for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
That was all my questions.
Huh?
That was all my questions.
When you got your job